Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Brave Investigator, a conversation with Christy Williams. As a little girl, Christy Williams discovered she had a fascination with the paranormal, an intrigue sparked by Robert Stack and unsolved mysteries in the 1980s and early 90s. Could the world be that mysterious? Could ghosts really exist? Christy Williams bravely went into that world on a mission to get answers. From paranormal investigations to taking on owning a notoriously haunted house and oddities museum, Christy knows the bright and the dark side of the supernatural. This is her story on The Grave Talks.
Well, it's kind of weird because I remember, you remember the show Unsolved Mysteries?
Oh, yes.
The only ones I ever wanted to watch were the ones about ghosts.
Yep. Like, me too.
You know, I didn't care about any of the other stories. It was the ghost stories that I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
So I guess at a very young age, I just had a fascination with it. And then, of course, I grew up... half of my childhood was, I grew up in Chicago and I lived near Resurrection Cemetery, which is one of the most famous ghost stories. And then when, by the time I was 14 years old, the place to go hide and party was the, what was it? Oh gosh, now I can't remember what it's called. It's a cemetery in a, it's in Midlothian, Illinois. It's home of one of the most famous ghost pictures ever taken. Mm-hmm. And it's what for whatever, Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. That's okay. It. And so it's kind of crazy because, remembering going there as a kid and hiding in this forest preserve and drinking in the cemetery and seeing things happen. And then years later down the road, Ghost Adventures was there and caught some of the same things that we actually saw when we were there, just goofing around as kids. So, I mean, I just kind of always had this fascination, and I can think back on times where, you know, paranormal stuff happened, but I was just like, yeah, it's this, it's that. And it wasn't until, I don't know, 6 years ago or so that I decided I just couldn't deny it anymore.
Sure.
So I don't, yeah, it's kind of weird. I've always been fascinated by it. But the Squirrel Cage Jail, I was doing an investigation there and I guess I was just kind of annoyed. It was one of my very first like actual investigations. And so I was just kind of like, whatever, there's nothing here. Nothing's going to happen. Like scare me, do something, like make me believe in it. And it felt like a giant man behind me just kind of put his body up against me and started walking forward. And so my body started going forward and I'm thinking there's someone behind me and nobody was there. so I was like, okay, well, I guess I have to admit things now.
Was that like? I mean, prior to having that experience where you're, you know, having the moment of, okay, I got to admit things. I mean, were you on the fence when you look at it, honestly, were you on the fence with it? Was it kind of a defense mechanism of like, I'm going to keep telling myself that maybe this isn't real. Where were you prior to that experience?
I think that I always, I think a lot of investigators will kind of agree to this. But I was always kind of skeptic in that it's like when something happens, you don't really admit to it because it's just not enough. Mm-hmm. It's never enough evidence. It's never strong enough evidence. It's just never good enough. No matter how much evidence you get, you receive, it becomes kind of like an addiction. Mm-hmm. Sure. And you just want more and more and more and more. So I think even to, as a kid, you're just like, oh, well, I'm just a kid, or, you know, I'm just making it up in my head. You don't really want to, see it, I guess, for what it is. So I've always been skeptical. I've always believed in ghosts, but always been skeptical of the evidence, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Sure. No, that does make sense. And there's a lot of stories that were based in that neck of the woods. I grew up north of you about 3 hours in northeast Wisconsin. So I remember many of the Resurrection Mary stories and such on Unsolved Mysteries. And I did the same thing. I only cared about the ghost episodes. The best one was the Halloween one where he was on the Queen Mary. And yes, that was a great episode.
Yeah.
Another story yeah. that resounds with me was something that was north of you about 2 hours or so and about an hour south of me, the bunk bed. Do you remember the bunk bed story on Unsolved Mysteries, the haunted bunk bed?
No, I don't remember this at all.
Oh, that was a good one. That and it's funny because on our other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, I had a weird connection that came up with it all those years later, and I'll get to that in a moment. But what happened in that story is this family had a bunk bed, and this happened in Horicon, Wisconsin, and they had all this paranormal activity that began in the house of the father seeing things almost as if the house was on fire one night, the kids getting freaked out, all these horrible, weird things. They get rid of the bunk bed. It all stops. And then, you know, 25 years later, I begin doing a ghost podcast. This is about 8 years ago now. I start noticing a weird trend is all these people have stories that somehow involve a bunk bed. And I don't know what the correlation is, why there's this correlation, but it's one of the most common items I ever get in ghost stories is a bunk bed. So much so that I made it into a joke and I have a bunk bed bell in my studio. And every time the word bunk bed comes up, we ring the bell. We ended up giving it out as like premium items to our subscribers with our logo on it. And so people can ding away at home while they listen along with every time the word bunk bed comes up. But it's one of those things where...
Dude, that's crazy.
I know. Just these weird correlations that come up. And I've been trying to figure out, was there like some bunk bed factory where somebody was doing like satanic rituals on the bunk bed, you know? And then I don't know. I mean, it's just utterly bizarre. I do not know what the correlation is, and I hope to figure it out someday. What for you were some of the stories on?
Well, all I know, I want.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I want a haunted bunk bed now.
Well, there's plenty of dumps, I'm sure, that have them. You know, it's like, oh, I think this is a remnant of a bunk bed. It's kind of build your own haunted bunk bed and see what you get. What for you were some of the stories that really spoke to you, you know, as a child watching programs like Unsolved Mysteries? What were the ones that really kind of drew you in?
Well, definitely Resurrection Mary. And I think, Resurrection Mary is always probably going to be the top one. And there's a lot of reasons for that one. I used to drive by it every day. Mm-hmm. I also have family members buried in that cemetery. Wow. You know, that Resurrection Mary has been a huge part of my whole life, you know, just because I lived there. And I remember my dad pointing out, oh, look, they're trying to paint over the gate again. And a week later, it's the black marks are back, you know? And so, I mean, I grew up watching that whole story, you know, it's really more, I think those stories, you know, specifically, that's the one that I remember really the most. I think I was just so fascinated with it all of the time. Mm-hmm. There was another one and I can't, it's been so long since I watched it. But I can't even remember the story, but there was another one that I used to watch all the time. And I think it was about a girl who like drowned in a lake or something. And I kind of remember it, but not quite. So
sure.
I won't even go there.
It's been a while. Yeah.
But I think Resurrection Mary was definitely the top one. It has. Well, now they're starting to release it. And I started going back and watching some of it, but it's hard to find just the ghost ones because I don't care about anything else.
I know there's a lot of fast forwarding that I'm doing. I'm trying to introduce my 8-year-old into it, and she absolutely loves it. But we're doing the same thing. It's like, yeah, where's the ghost ones?
And awesome.
Yeah, we fast forward, but it's fun. Yeah. So, tell me about you said that as a teen, you know, you're going into the cemetery, doing what you know teenagers do, and you know you're having fun. But you said things had happened in there as well that you really can't explain. What were some of those things that happened back then?
Well, the one thing that I always tell people about, just because it was kind of cool to years later see it on Ghost Adventures, is the bright white lights that you would see that would appear out of nowhere. And you know, the thing is the I guess you have to really go there to understand that it's not going to be a car. It's not going to be, I mean, you're really in the middle of a forest preserve. Mm-hmm. It's one of those places that you don't know where it is unless you know where it is. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of be someone who lives there and knows the place and whatever, and you know how to get there. And so these white lights that would just float around and you have, you know, no clue where they're coming from. And then also there was like every now and then it would look like a house in the distance and you would try to walk towards it. And no matter how close you got, you never got close to it. And so that was kind of a weird thing that we always saw. And I don't think that was ever caught on camera. Nobody really understands that one either. I actually went back. You do get trespassing tickets now, but it was well worth it. I went back a few years ago as an adult. And I was there at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And by then I was living in South Carolina. So I had South Carolina plates on my car, which helped talk me out of a bigger ticket. but I was there at like 3 a.m. and it was just me and two of my friends, her kids. They were teenagers. So they weren't like little. And we're there at like 3 a.m. and I'm taking pictures. And I actually captured a photo by a tree, and it looks like a female in a red dress who's like, it almost, she's cradling her arms almost like she's holding a baby. But I always show people this picture and I don't tell them what they're looking at. I'm like, what do you see? And they actually usually mistake this spirit for, oh, is that your friend? And I'm like, no.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was in the dark. It was taken with an older camera. And so to be able to look at it and see kind of how it looks is still pretty amazing when you think about it. And then if you take a closer look, people will start seeing other figures and faces in the photo. And it's pretty amazing. It was an amazing photo.
That's amazing when someone is, oh, is that your friend? It's not like, what is that over there? When it's that clear. I'm not great at looking at ghost photos and saying, oh, there's a ghost there. Because, I mean, there's obviously so many, you know, abnormalities and you can look at things. But obviously the best ones are like that, where it's like, oh, there's a person there. Wait, no, there wasn't a person there. That's what can really stand out. I had one a couple years back that was sent in to me. And I think it was taken in the London Underground. And they said, look at these ghost photos. And I said, where's the ghost? They're like, the person in the photo is the ghost. I'm like, that just looks like a guy hanging out in the subway. And that guy was not there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm having to take them at their word, but it was kind of just bizarre and creepy with that sort of feeling. Cemeteries are interesting places. And I'd love to get your take on this. And I ask this semi often, and it's just an opinion based question. Cemeteries, other than people like us who like to go spend time in them, most people don't. It's not a place that, you know, anyone really frequents all that often unless you're going to visit a loved one or for a funeral, really. Why do you think it is that cemeteries seem to hold so many spirits? Because quite often we hear them of, you know, in their place of residence or at places that they actually did frequent. Cemeteries usually not one of those areas. Is there something where we're still hanging out with our bodies? Is there something where we can just kind of go wherever we may be seen? What's your opinion on that?
I mean, I have lots of different thoughts, I guess, on cemeteries. And I am one of those people who hung out in cemeteries. I used to take my kids on picnics in cemeteries because they're quiet.
Yep.
They're usually quiet and they're beautiful. I mean, I think that a lot of times, you know, in my opinion, I think people, when they pass on, they try to attach themselves to something familiar. And what's more familiar to your spirit than your own body? Mm-hmm. You know, I can't imagine anything else being more familiar. And I also, you know, when I think about Boucher's Grove in particular, I think there's a lot of spirits there because there's a pond there where they say Al Capone dumped bodies. So whether he was killing people there or whatever, you know, so some of those people might be stuck there. There's other cemeteries. I'm actually in South Carolina right now by one of my favorite locations, which is the Bull Street Asylum. And they had their own cemetery where they would put certain people. So there were like mass graves, but a lot of the mass graves that are there are from people who went missing.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.